You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Gareth Topham with you on the latest edition, looking ahead to Wednesday's action. A good afternoon to you, Mr. Topham.
Good afternoon.
How's things?
Good.
You've just found out you're not working tomorrow.
I have.
As we record this, Catterick's just been abandoned.
Yeah, so
you've
there
got,
we
got a lovely day off.
A day in the house keeping dry, I think.
Yes. I looked at Catterick and thought, crikey, that's going to be... If it is on... It's going to be testing, and they are going to be all coming stand side, and that bend is going to get churned up.
Mm.
It's not the best sight in racing, is it?
No, and not the best start to their flat season either.
No, it isn't.
Because, of course, it was the first flat meeting of their season tomorrow, and, of course, if they churned up the ground really badly tomorrow, which would have been the case, obviously it leaves it quite battered and bruised for future meetings, for all that it can be put back. But doesn't it go to show how wet the last few days have been? A, for Catterick to be off because of waterlogging, that's basically an unknown. They barely ever lose jump fixtures due to waterlogging. It's a track which dries and drains extremely well.
Mm.
And with the flat track, well, they're on fresh ground to start with in any case. So it's not as if this ground has been opening up. It's been growing all over the winter. It's been kept nice and fresh, and even that's waterlogged. So it just goes to show the bulk of rain that has been falling in the Yorkshire region. And disappointing for Catterick tomorrow, because, as I say, it was their first day of the new flat season there, but preserving the ground and getting it better for their next fixture, I think that's a little bit more important.
Yes, and we've already lost in recent days Pontefract and Redcar, and I think Musselburgh's off on Thursday, I think I'm right.
Yes, it is. Norman Gundel at Pontefract, he's been there now for, I think, 40, 50 years. He just goes on and on and on, does Norman.
Mm.
Great guy, and he was quoted as saying he's never seen anything like it. Stood there with a stick, basically in a puddle at the 4 furlong mark. I saw a picture earlier on this morning. It's absolutely crazy, isn't it, for the time of year. Very, very wet. They say April showers, but it's just been April monsoon, hasn't it, really?
It's taking the mick a bit, yeah. We are going to focus on action on Wednesday, what's left of it, which is we've got action at Lingfields on the all-weather and Kempton in the evening and Suddle in the afternoon as well. And there is a card scheduled, a twilight meeting at Leopardstown as well. As we record this, that's still going ahead. But obviously Fairy House was off today. The third day of their three-day meeting was off, so we shall see. We are going to focus on action on the all-weather in just a moment. I just want to touch on something first, Gareth. News from this morning, which is that Waiting Patiently is out of Aintree, which is a great shame because Connections, I think, had been really sensible in avoiding Cheltenham.
Mm.
And you wanted a horse that was going to Aintree fresh, and with that as the main target, which it had so many ticks in boxes, but unfortunately will not be running.
Yeah, it takes away from what already looks as though it's going to be a tremendous race, doesn't it, next week? But no, sad news. And like you say, the Ruth Jefferson team, they've been very sensible in not sort of being tempted by sort of the Ryanair chase at Cheltenham with the Melling chase at Aintree, seemingly a much better option for the horse that so far has proved his effectiveness more so than most on a flat track and on better ground than he was likely to encounter at the festival back last month. Whether or not he'd have got the fresher ground with all this rain that's falling, who knows what the ground's going to be like at Aintree next week. I think the rain is generally meant to die out through this week, but you can't really trust long-range forecasts in any case. So who knows what it's going to be like next week. They might not have had ideal ground or the ground that they'd have been desiring in any case, but I think he'd have run next week, and I think he'd have gone there with a big, big chance. He's looked very, very exciting. He's certainly the most exciting horse to come out of the North for a while over jumps, and the meeting is going to be a little poorer for him not being there.
Yeah. He had entries, didn't he, in the Bowl and the Melling Chase.
Yeah.
Melling Chase, by the way, Altior 7-4 at the minute, to Politologue 5-1, Cloudy Dream 6s with Godzone and Top Notch, 12s for Charbel and Frodon.
Still a great race.
It's a cracking race.
But God, you'd have loved to have seen him there, wouldn't you, taking them on?
It would have been fantastic.
So,
but That said, 7-4 on Altior seems fair.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Up to 2.5 miles as well. Would that not suit him better?
You'd think it could do.
So, yeah.
We shall see anyway. Mm. All that to come.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I was going to say, we say that like it's going to be better. It may not be. To be fair, Cheltenham escaped remarkably well. Squeezing it in,
they did.
When they did,
they got through by the skin of their teeth.
Yeah, if
Let's
you look at what happened
it,
after that,
the week
and
after
before that,
and the week before, yeah. It was a no go. So you wouldn't go putting your house on it, would you? But no, fingers crossed. Look, everything will be absolutely fine next week, and we're going to be treated to again three spectacular days of racing at one of the world's finest racecourses. Absolutely can't wait for it. But yeah, we're. Possibly not. If the Irish Grand National yesterday is anything to go by, we might not be seeing sort of 15 with a chance crossing the Melling Road with
no,
Tudor Jump this year.
Not.
It might just be a slight bit more testing than what we've been used to in recent years.
Well, as was the case yesterday after the Irish National, the two races that followed it, you couldn't see a thing at all.
Right.
Full stop. And this is interesting, because you're a commentator, Gareth.
Mm.
If it's very foggy, do you talk during the foggy bits?
Yeah, I think
it was Desi yesterday.
Desi.
I think he just sort of went, oh, I can't see him. So he just stayed quiet for sort of
Did he?
15, 20 seconds
Did he?
And then picked them up again.
It's funny, there's no sort of...
That's something they don't teach you in commentary school, how to blag in a foggy...
No,
there's not. When you cannot see anything.
No,
you've got to say, oh, I'm going into the fog, this one was in the lead.
Yeah.
And then
it can get a little bit repetitive.
You can see a red cap.
Yeah. I remember on Boxing Day a few years ago at Sedgefield, it was foggy. Probably the foggiest meeting I've ever done. And I just remember asking the crowd whether or not they'd had a good Christmas as they went into the back straight, because there was nothing else to see, nothing interesting, apart from, well, when they disappeared, it was so-and-so in front. There's nothing actually written in our contract to say, not to my knowledge anyway, to say that we've got to continue talking. But I think the British way, if you like, is just to waffle until the cameraman at some point manages to pick them up. But it'd be interesting if one of the British, maybe I'll have to try it at some point. If we just do, switch the mic off.
Yeah.
Sod it. Just leave it until they come back into view.
That's it.
And see if there's any criticism.
I've got to say, Desi was superb in the Irish National because
he was.
You've got 13 Giggenstein runners anyway. Mm. Then factor in that most of the field are so mud splattered that you can't see a thing. And he did not make a single mistake. No,
Desi did and does still a tremendous job. And he's been doing so for many, many years now. And when you consider that Desi's, I think he'd be the oldest commentator in Britain and Ireland combined. I think he'd definitely be the oldest now. And the fact that, like you say, you've got all of those Giggenstown runners, so many different variations of caps and what have you. And a massive field in, the mid-20s setting off. And let's face it, there was carnage right from the word go. There were pile up at the first. They were coming into the home straight for the first time. There were pretty much as many loose horses as there were still in the field. And as you say, towards the second half of that race, it was something that crossed my mind in running.
Well, I was
Christ,
watching
I'm glad,
it.
I'm glad I'm not calling this
I was
myself.
Watching it, and if I was trying to find one, you'd have to almost be quiet for 5 seconds and look really carefully to seamlessly flow through them.
Yeah, there were a couple I were keeping my eye on in running in particular, just because the colours were pale anyway. And I was just praying for Desi. But we had 4-5 in a line coming to the final fence. Bells Hill just completely, I think he actually climbed over the final fence as opposed to jumping. He seemed to land on it.
Yeah.
Horses swerving left, right, all over the shop, but he picked it up and he did a tremendous job. And on the big day, Desi is, I think, absolutely fantastic still.
Yeah.
I really do. He really lifts it on the big days. And
it was absolutely fantastic.
A wonderful, wonderful race. It might not have been the prettiest race we've ever seen, but it was a proper national.
Yeah.
Proper national, proper stamina test, and it had all the drama, all the ingredients that a race with that title, national, for me, should entail.
General Principle was the winner, by the way. We've not even mentioned the winner.
No.
Did go on to score and beat Isle of Hopes and Dreams, which really helped Gordon Elliott, of course. Did not help Willie Mullins quite as much.
Mm.
And just one to note as well, I was on racing radio yesterday and didn't put two and two together at the time, but Folsom Blue finishing fast down the outside was the one who was hampered at the last.
Yeah.
But wasn't just hampered, was broadsided and finished at a 90-degree angle to the way that it started jumping the last. And then from a standing start, rattled home and probably would have won, actually, if it had got over the last well.
And all credit, I mean, I know him quite well anyway, having worked with him in the past, but I was watching the racing on ATI yesterday, and Gary O'Brien, who part owns Folsom Blue, you would have never have guessed that his horse could well have won the Irish Grand National had it not been for the incident at the last. Completely impartial, completely non-biased. Absolutely fabulous.
It was so muddy, you might not have known it was his.
He might not have, in fairness. No, no. But,
right, we're going to turn our attention to, hopefully, less muddy scenes. We've got two contests that we're going to focus on. Was it the 245 at Lingfield?
245, a lovely
one. And then we'll look at one at Kempton as well. The 245 at Lingfield is a handicap over 7 furlongs. We've got some intriguing runners making their seasonal debuts here.
Yeah, we have. And one of them is Flavius Titus, who represents Roger Varian. Andrea Ratzeni taking the ride. This horse has not been seen out for 133 days. He's been off since November. But I thought it was quite a good performance in that novice race. It was class fiver, a slightly lower grade than what he's going to be in tomorrow for his handicapping debut. But as I say, I think it was quite a good effort because he drew away inside the final furlong, despite the fact that his jockey on that day, Jack Mitchell, dropped the whip. Mm. But he asserted really well. He pulled away and he's now racing off an opening mark of 82. And it's certainly not a one-horse race. I think Tathmin comes into it for Richard Hannon, holding some useful form from his two-year-old career back at last season, where he was a winner as well. He's having his debut on the all-weather, so he has to prove his capabilities of being all right on the surface. An Insurgence for Roger Varian, for James Fanshawe was winner, actually over this course and distance back in November as well, and he's been given a break since. I think he's another of the dangers. And if you're looking for a horse with fitness on its side, then Bungee Jump would probably be the one for you, for all that Bungee Jump is now taking on a much higher level than what he's been generally winning in. So, yeah, it's a decent little race, I think. A mixture of profiles among the three-year-olds. But Flavius Titus, I was just quite taken with that win in novice grade back in November. No doubt he'd be freshened up. He represents powerful connections. He could well be the one.
I think I'd agree with you, actually, with that one. It's worth just mentioning, you mentioned Bungee Jump. She's formerly with Kevin Ryan. She won during the Cheltenham Festival, I think I'm right in saying. I think it was on the maybe the Friday of the festival.
Okay.
Anyway, did win for Kevin Ryan during that festival and has now moved to Grace Harris, which you wouldn't say is a massive positive. But at the same time, you mentioned race fitness. That could be the difference. It could be worth lengths in this, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could be. It could be. I think as well with just the seven of them, it wouldn't be a great surprise if it turned into a tactical sort of affair. And Bungee Jump will just have that bit of zip that the others might not have, and it could just help him, she is just stepping up a little bit in grade, but I think at the same time she deserves to take a chance. She's got no weight on her back either. 8 stone 8 now with Cameron Noble taking off the 5, so she's in receipt of plenty of weight from all of the others. She's not out of it.
But Flavius Titus the pick.
Flavius Titus.
We'll move to Kempton then for the evening racing. 8:15 is this one. 1 mile and 3 furlongs, almost, the trip. And 6 of them set to go to post. I thought this looked really trappy, actually, Gareth. I thought this was a difficult one. That said, you'd expect there's more to come from Kazawi. Should we start with that one?
Yeah, that's the one I quite like for Roger Charlton and Kieran Schumark. This individual has had just a handful of starts so far, 4, and they were all back last year. He's been off for 256 days, but again, is now pitched into a handicap and pitched into an all-weather race for the very first time, and we'll be racing off a mark of, we'll be going into this, was rated 80 on the turf. I just think is a very intriguing contender against a horse in exceeding power who has now got to produce, for me, a real personal best to go in again, having won at Lingfield last time out.
Real steady sort, but has had 45 runs now, whereas Kazawi has just had the 4.
Yeah.
It's almost odd that they can race against each other, these two.
It is, Exceeding Power's got some very good form in the book. He's won plenty of prize money over the years, a 7-year-old now. But it is just a case, I think, of the older horse comes into the race in winning form, taking on some younger horses, which might just be open to a bit more improvement. So for that reason, I'd be quite happy to take him on with Kazawi for a stable that I truly respect.
Okay, Kazawi the selection in that one. Good stuff, Gareth.
Thank you.
Enjoy your day off tomorrow.
Yeah, I will.
And we'll catch up with you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.